Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
This is the international break version of the Two Daft Yanks Podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm very pleased to be joined by night, filling in for Corey Chatelain, the 12th Yank himself, Joe Gould.
Hey, everybody.
All right.
Good to be back. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, no, thank you for coming on again, Joe. So with this international break upon us and a new cycle starting for U.S. soccer as we eventually look for Russia 2018, but also knowing that there's so many other things between then and now that will shape the way the team and is built up over these years, I thought we'd get Joe in to talk about some of these young players that were highlighted in the U.S. roster last week against the Czech Republic. All right, so with my first question, and this is just general, and we'll get your thoughts on this. Now, I wrote a blog on this at 2daftyanks.com if you have not read it, but is this new cycle that just started with the win last week against the Czech Republic, do we think that this could be, Joe, perhaps a start of a new era in U.S. soccer to where the old guard is kind of, you know, on the downtrend, and this new guard, this new breed of American soccer players is going to take the more of a role on the field than we've seen in the past?
Yes, I absolutely do think that. I think you saw the beginning of that during the game. You know, starting several young players, they shouldered the responsibilities really well. Actually, I was very impressed. I thought they did very well. It was good to see some added responsibility put on Mick's Discrude's shoulders. I think that's been a long time coming, and I think that he's definitely able to handle that. It's going to be interesting to see how the new mixes with the old, and I think that you are onto something that, yes, you know, and Klinsmann's hinted at this as well, you know, that the old guard is now going to kind of start to fade away. I think there will be several players that stay with the team, namely Michael Bradley, Clint Dempsey, you know, maybe one or two others, but it's a whole new world. It's a whole new cycle, so it's exciting. There's a lot of opportunity out there for players to prove themselves. So yeah, it's a transition period for sure, and started off rather well.
Yes, no doubt. I know a lot of people were kind of complaining about things, but I, for one, will never complain about a win on European soil.
No, definitely not. No, that's I would take that every day of the week, and it wasn't a fluke win either to the Czech Republic. I mean, you know, people may look and say, oh well, you know, they're not a Spain or a Germany, but the Czech Republic, they brought their A team. I mean, they were prepping for Euros. There was, you know, that was pretty much as good as it got for them. So to go in with the squad that we did, with a lot of fresh faces and young talent, with so much inexperience, you know, to get a win on their home turf was very impressive. Very impressive. We should be proud of it.
Yes, as I am for sure, and we know many of you are as well. So the main reason I make this point is because Klinsmann has talked about in his build-up to the match last week about how he was disappointed in how we played in the World Cup and how the players really didn't listen to the style of play that he wanted to play. And I think, and I've mentioned it time and time before on the show, is that these older players, and there's nothing wrong with them, it's just they're not as technically able, and they don't have what Corey likes to call, I don't know, I call it the footballing brain is what I call it. We don't have the brain to play in the possession and attacking style that Klinsmann wants to, but these younger players, they do, because a lot of them, you know, have been brought up through different cultures to where they're American, but they have different influences in their game, and they're more equipped to be able to play that style of ball. Sure. And I think Klinsmann is really – I think if people thought that the Landon Donovan controversy was a controversy, I think in the next 2 years you're going to see a lot more controversies to where big-name players are phased out because they're not playing in the way Klinsmann wants them to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on top of that as well, you know, these younger players, when they come in, they sort of have this – they're not really quite sure what to expect, so it leads to almost this sense of fearlessness with them. They may have that trait already as a player, but they bring that now to the national team table, and it's a good element to have. You know, they're fearless. You're not afraid to go into a challenge, and I think you saw that. You know, they took charge of the game. I was really impressed with the midfield, especially in the first half with Discrude, Corona, and Bedoya across the middle three. I thought they controlled the game very well, and you could see that they had that those ball skills that you were talking about. They had the soccer brain, and they had a sense of fearlessness. You know, they grasped the game and didn't let it go until they were taken off. So,
yes,
yeah,
no,
that's
the first half, you know, before all the substitutions were made, where the game deteriorated like it does so often in international friendlies. Yeah, that first half of football was, I think, exactly how Klinsmann wants to play. So that gets me
absolutely
to think. And the biggest point in my blog that I wrote was the fact that I don't think in Klinsmann's new system that he wants to play. Now, it's a question, this is still way early to see if we're going to be able to implement it, you know, full blow. But I think your days of having just your traditional, you know, defensive midfielder who just anchors in there, like a Beckerman or a Jermaine Jones, I think those days are gone. If you want to play in the style that Klinsmann wants to, because we don't have the attacking, you know, players across the pitch to be able to sacrifice one position as just a pure defensive position in order to play how Klinsmann wants to. So I believe that you'll see people like Discarude playing, you know, as the most, you know, deepest lying midfielder in a box-to-box role. And that's something that we've seen Michael Bradley do for years until they oddly switched him to an attacking midfielder. So
right.
There are players in our pool already who could play these roles. And so it's just going to be fascinating to see what shakes out.
Absolutely. And, you know, after they were subbed out, the loss of not talent, but, you know, the loss of control of the game, if you will, was, you know, probably a direct result of the fact that the players that then came in, you know, had not played at the national level very well. But Emerson Hyman is another player just like that. You know, he's like a Michael Bradley, a mixed Discrude. You know, he's a deep-lying playmaker that, you know, is consistently passing at 90-plus percent for his team at Fulham. And that this is the first team, you know, and that's an impressive stat. That's something that, you know, he's very well prepared and able to take over as a sub or even as possibly a starter in the future, you know. So, I agree with you there.
All right, so that's why we got you on. You keep track of all these guys and get to see them and understand their situations more than most. So let's just get to it, and let's just go through some of the younger names on the roster here that are going to have a big impact on the U.S. over the next 4 years. And then after that, we'll get into some of the players who didn't make this most current roster. So just to make sure that we're not being biased and people, we're just going to run through this alphabetically.
Sounds good.
All right, so the first one, and this is a guy who, World Cup veteran already, scored a huge goal against Ghana, but people don't remember that he's just 21 years old, and that is John Brooks, who plays his club ball in Germany for Hertha Berlin.
Hertha Berlin. Woo!
Yes. So what do you think is his, you know, impact going to be in the next few years?
Sorry, I had to throw that in there. That's my Bundesliga team.
Yeah, no problem.
No, Brooks' impact, I think, is going to be big. Obviously, he's you know, he's one of the next generation of center backs, you know, and You know, Klinsmann, I think, has full intention to breed him into a starter. I think that, you know, eventually it's going to be, you know, an interesting fight to see, you know, who's gonna partner with him, because I think Klinsmann is pretty set on Brooks. And at Hertha Berlin, Brooks has a great opportunity to continue to develop. You know, they brought in some really good talents over the summer. They're a team that on paper could probably challenge for a European spot, and that would be excellent for his further development. Brooks also had some interest during the summer from a couple of other European clubs. There's a couple clubs in England, and I can't remember them off the top of my head. Wigan, I don't think that was it. But anyways, yeah, you know, he's got interest, and that's because people see that, you know, he's a good talent, that he's a solid defender, and, you know, Klinsmann sees that as well. And so the future's bright for him. Future's definitely bright for him. And right now at Hertha Berlin, actually, he's won back his starting spot due to an injury. You know, you may or may not know that Hertha brought in Heidinga over the summer, and he's actually kind of kicked Brooks out of one of the center back spots. But now the center back opposite of Heidinga got injured, and so Brooks is able to take that in, and he's done well in the few appearances that he's had for Hertha so far before this break. So it'll be interesting to see how he continues that. Hopefully his form continues. I know Klinsmann did say that he's planning on bringing a lot of the players that were at this camp into camp next month in the U.S., which is interesting. So we can look forward to seeing them, and I would probably wager that Brooks might be one of them.
Okay, see, I did not hear the news that a lot of these guys are going to be brought back. So that leads me to believe my just, you know, inclination and just thoughts on this even more. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next on my list, and I didn't know he was so old. I thought he was he's old, but you'll see when I get to it. But I thought he was a little younger. But Joe Corona, playing at Club Tijuana, is 24 mm-hmm. years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still not really into his prime. Do you think he showed enough in his start to where he could break into the mix into this U.S. midfield?
I do, and I think Corona showed that in the past as well. He's got great feet, and you know, he's got a good soccer brain, as we discussed earlier. I think that especially the last World Cup cycle, I think Klinsmann was looking for him to kind of grasp a starting spot at Tijuana more than he did. And now with the new coach and with some players who've moved on, I think that Corona has I don't want to say he's sealed the spot, because, you know, it's always up in the air, but he's definitely seemed to lock down a place, a starting place for Tijuana, which is good. And I think that's something that Klinsmann was looking for before he started bringing Corona in more often. So, yeah, I think that Corona will be a staple this cycle for the U.S. for sure. And you know, his development will continue to develop while he's at Tijuana. They're a good club. They play in some good competitions. And I think that Klinsmann really likes him.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up, we're going to jump back to a goalkeeper, and that is Cody Cropper, 21 years old, who is playing his trade at Southampton. What is the latest on him?
The latest on Cody Cropper is a little bit disappointing, because Southampton, obviously during the summer, they sold a lot of players. And, you know, we were all thinking perhaps that, you know, oh, this is great. This is a great opportunity for Cody to jump up, to maybe, you know, start getting some games on the bench, start getting some cup games during the season. And then they went and bought the ex-Celtic goalkeeper, whose name is escaping me right now. Isn't it Foster or Forster?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ben Foster, I think. And that kind of threw a giant wrench in the plan. So Cody right now, he's starting for their U21 team. He plays with them on a pretty consistent basis. But he is definitely one of the future goalies for the USA, and Klinsmann loves him, loves his skill set, brings him in quite frequently. Cropper was also there at the pre-World Cup camp in California. So, you know, it's great to see that. I think Klinsmann is really striving to push Cropper's development forward. I think some of us, after we found out that Foster was going to Southampton, we were hoping that Cropper might get a loan move, but that never materialized. So for now, he's sticking with the Southampton U21s, and you know, for now, that's a good spot for him. Obviously, we want our players to, you know, always strive to get playing time and to push themselves, and that's what Klinsmann wants as well. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe there's been some talks going on between them that maybe in January he might look to go somewhere for the last half of the season. But another good thing about Cropper right now too is with Foster coming into Southampton, you know, it's a great goalie for Cropper to study from. You know, Foster played very well for Celtic for several years, and is definitely a top class goalkeeper. So Cropper can be a good understudy for Foster.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I was going to ask. What are the odds, do you think, in January that he'll try to go to get some loan move to get some first team football? Because if memory serves me correct, I don't think he's been on loan at all.
No, he's never gone out on a loan, and you know, that's something that they're going to want to look to develop with him, or to help him develop and move along, and he'll need those minutes. But goalies tend to mature a little slower than, you know, most other field players. You know, they come to their prime perhaps a little later than, you know, we would think for some other players. You know, once he hits 26, 27, then, you know, he should definitely be a starting staple. But for now, you know, he's still young and he has some time. And again, obviously we'd like for him to get first team minutes. That would be fantastic. But I think that Klinsmann is okay with where he's at right now. So.
Okay, that's good. All right, next up is someone we've seen a lot and someone who is one of my favorites, and I know that you like him as well, but let's just talk about Diskerud here. And since he's a midfielder that has, you know, so many different skill sets, and I think if he was given a specific job, he could play pretty much any role in the midfield. What do you think is his best position in terms of as a role in the midfield?
He plays for Rosenborg, where he lined up for the U.S. Against the Czech Republic, which was, I believe it was on the left side. He usually for Rosenborg plays either out on the left or the right, but moves in and switches roles and is that deep line playmaker. I think Mix is best when he is allowed to have a little creative freedom. He has great vision and he has great passing ability. And you know, it's interesting when he's on the field for the U.S. Because he brings an extra dimension, I feel like. So I think this cycle you'll see, and I think that this is something that Klinsmann wants as well, for Mix to just kind of grab it by the reins and be able to conduct the game. That's who Klinsmann is going to try to conduct the way that we play through Diskerud, and I think that he has the ability to do that. So it'll be really interesting to see. I think that his strongest position is hanging out right in front of the 18-yard line, because he's got, you know, he can feed those small passes. He's good at connecting passes. And again, if we need him to, like you said, he can track back and defend. He's fully capable of doing that as well. And you kind of saw that in the game against the Czech Republic. You know, he wasn't afraid to track back, but he also did really well pushing forward and connecting on passes. And the whole midfield did that. Corona, Diskerud, and pulling the blank.
Bedoya.
Bedoya, thank you.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's what Klinsmann wants, is kind of that interchangeable parts, to where anybody, it's just fluid, and they were doing a great job, if you watched the match, in terms of if a player would get forward, you know, one would drop back. So they communicated really well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was great. Now, getting back to here to Diskerud now, what do you think is going to happen with him, club situation long term? Has he maxed out all that he can develop and learn playing in Norway? And where do you think he might be a good place for him to end up to continue to up his level of development?
I think that Norway is coming to a close for him, yeah. There were rumors of him coming to MLS, and he wants to play here someday. Whether or not it's soon, that remains to be seen. Obviously, there are rumors about him coming to the Crew, and there were rumors floating around that he was going to go to New York City FC. Personally, though, I would feel that staying in Europe would be the best option for him. And that's not because, you know, that's not a slight on MLS, but if he's going to be our main engine, or, you know, if he's going to partner with Bradley in that midfield, I think that it's going to be important for him to try to stay at the top of his game. And again, not a slight on the MLS, but if, you know, you can notice that Bradley has struggled with the national team ever since he came over to the MLS. And if the same thing happened to Mix, you know, we might be in some trouble. So I would love to see him go to the Bundesliga. And obviously there were rumors of him going to Werder Bremen, which I think would be a perfect fit for him. You know, they're a club that is financially a little bit unstable right now, but they're also a club that takes pride in developing players. And so obviously the Bundesliga is a step above the Tippeliga. And so, yeah, you know, I think it would be a great place for Mix to continue his development. And I think it could be a launching pad for, you know, perhaps even a bigger club, a Champions League club. I think it's a move that he's going to need to make.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, keep an eye on that here soon, because, you know, Norway, they play on the summer schedule, so their season will be wrapping up in,
yes,
what, November?
Yes, yes, fairly soon here, and it's not looking too good. I don't think they're going to win the Tippeliga. I think that's already gone to Molde, which is Josh Gatt's club, even though he's out injured. But, yeah, you know, Rosenborg, they're going to have to make that push to get back into a European spot. It may not matter. Mix may move on. You know, it's hard to say right now, but I'm sure that those rumors will reopen in January.
Yeah, so, yeah, my point was, look for a move to happen in January.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about a teammate of Joe Corona at Club Tijuana, and that would be Greg Garza, who I think made his first cap with the senior team.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, and I was very, very impressed with him. He didn't have a huge cameo, but for what he did have, you know, I thought he did really well. I felt like he was very settled, showed a lot of maturity for this being his first cap. You know, he locked down that left side very well, I felt. And, I think that this cycle, we definitely could see, you know, we could see a lot of opportunities for Garza to start at that left back position, you know, and offer some fluctuation between him and Chandler or Fabian Johnson. I was very impressed with Garza, and he's doing very well. He's locked down that left back spot at Tijuana now that Edgar Cassio has left. And so that's also good news for him too, and I think he fully deserved that call up, and he did quite well. So I'm looking forward to seeing him hopefully next month.
Okay, what can you tell me more about him? You know, the left back position has been a problem for us for a long time, and it seems like we're always converting people to play that spot. I guess my first question is, he naturally left footed, and is he a natural defender?
He is a natural defender. He's a natural left back, yes. I do believe he is left-footed. Don't quote me on that, but I do believe that, yes, he is. He actually started playing over in Europe. He played in Portugal for a while with several different clubs over there. He played with Sporting for a little bit. And then it wasn't quite working out for him. He wasn't getting the opportunities that he thought he was going to get. And so he decided to end his contract over there and look elsewhere. And Tijuana approached him and said, come play for us. And he liked what the club had to offer. He liked the vision that they had. And so he signed with them, and he's been there for the last few years. And it's been very rewarding for him. He's done quite well. In fact, like I said earlier, he's locked down that starting role for them, which he should have all season. There's no reason why that would get taken away from him, unless, of course, he gets injured or his form drops. But he's in really good form right now, and I don't expect that to happen.
Okay, very good. And then we're talking about him a lot here, but I have a lot of questions.
Sure.
In terms of Garza, he still has eligibility for Mexico as well. Is that correct?
That's a question that I don't actually know the answer to. But I don't believe that's not anything that I'm familiar with. So that's a really good question.
Okay. I thought he was one of the guys who was dual, who still could technically get poached by Mexico. So we'll let you do some on-air research there. And while you're doing that, we'll talk about somebody who we know you could talk about at the top of your head with. And let's just talk about Julian Green, the 19-year-old property of superpower Bayern Munich, who has made a loan move to Hamburg for the season.
Yes.
How much playing time do you think he's going to get at Hamburg? And does he need a lot of playing time, I guess? I mean, is it okay if he plays, you know, once every two games? Is that enough for him at this point in time in his career? What are you looking for?
I think that Klinsmann now sees Green as a staple in his side and as a talent that needs to continue to be developed. His loan move to Hamburg is excellent. I don't know if we could really ask for more than that. They're weak at winger positions, which is what Green has played the majority of his time at Bayern Munich at. And so for him to just naturally slot into a position at Hamburg is definitely a possibility for him. It's a great coach over there at Hamburg. They're kind of a rejuvenated team. Obviously, last season they were on the ropes. They faced a relegation battle, and they won over two legs to stay in the Bundesliga. And they haven't had the best start to this season, but Green has yet to play a game with them. And also, I believe they signed Lewis Holtby, if I'm not mistaken, from Tottenham.
That's correct. He is there on loan with the option to buy.
Yes, and so those two have yet, I believe, to play in a game for Hamburg. So that they are two players who could definitely change the season around, and that's going to be their goal. You know, Hamburg's brought them in with the outlook to avoid any sort of relegation battle with them. So, like I said, the winger positions at Hamburg are not deep, and so it's definitely there for the taking for Julian Green. And if he does well, I think that we could definitely see that. And heck, why not give him the playing time? I mean, that's perfect, and Klinsmann will absolutely love that. And Klinsmann's tight with the people at the club. He knows the coach. He knows a lot of the personnel there. And so yeah, I think it's a good match. It's a good match for Green and something to be excited about. I definitely will be watching those games. So, yeah.
Yeah, your schedule's getting more and more crowded in terms of soccer watching, that's for sure.
Yeah, seriously. I don't have a Saturday anymore.
Yeah,
but that's okay. It's a worthy sacrifice.
Let's stay in Germany, and we'll go to one of the rivals of Bayern Munich, and that would be Borussia Dortmund, where attacking player Joe Giao made his debut for the U.S. at the age of 21. So what can you tell me about him and his long-term prospects at Dortmund?
He moved to Dortmund from Hoffenheim, which many of you probably know. He wasn't getting the opportunities there that he felt he should be getting. And I tend to agree with him. He spent quite some time there at Hoffenheim, and the opportunity kind of presented itself to make a move to Dortmund. The coach for Dortmund 2, which is who he's playing with on a consistent basis, they've known each other for quite some time. In fact, I believe the coach at Dortmund 2 is an American, actually.
That is correct.
His name escapes me at this moment. Maybe you have that in front of you, but yeah, there's a good relationship between those two. So I think Zhao will have an opportunity, especially because Dortmund is in several different competitions. I think Zhao will have an opportunity to have a chance to break into the first team of Dortmund. That's a difficult thing, but Klopp loves young players, and Zhao brings speed and skill, which are things that, you know, every coach looks for in their players. And so he brings a wealth of experience to the table as well, having played with Hoffenheim, getting several first team appearances with them, but also with their second team over the last few years. So, you know, Zhao's ready to take that next step. It's just, you know, it's really up to him. Is he going to go out there and grasp it? And if he impresses with Dortmund too, you know, I think that that opportunity will present itself. And it always helps to get, you know, looks from your national team. And I think Klinsmann rates him highly. I was very impressed with him against the Czech Republic. I thought he did absolutely fantastic. You know, he didn't show any signs of nerves, in my opinion. He wasn't afraid to take players on. And he's so freaking fast. It's unbelievable. You know, and those are both valuable assets. The U.S. hasn't had a winger of his caliber for quite some time. And so I think you saw just a glimpse of the possibilities that exist when Zhao's in our side, and the possibilities that exist for us during this World Cup cycle if he continues to play for Dortmund and get consistent minutes, you know, and it's very exciting to see.
Okay, now a lot of people may not be familiar with him now. So you're telling me that he's a pure wing? Is he what style does he play? It looked like to me he likes to cut in from the outside. So he starts outside, cuts in, uses his strength and speed, or is he a guy who's going to be apt to, you know, pump balls into the box with some crosses?
He's capable of both, but he likes the ball at his feet. So cutting in is most likely what you're going to see him do. You know, and he'll cut in and play a short pass to somebody maybe at the top of the box, or he'll cut in and feed, you know, feed a short ball across the box, or even take it himself if he can. Like I said, he's not afraid to take people on, you know, and he loves scoring goals. So that's kind of what you can expect from him.
All right. All right, let's move on to another player. And this player, his current manager in England in the championship at Fulham, Felix Magath. They just released a club article on their official website after he made his U.S. debut. And that would be Emerson Hyndman, the central midfielder of just 18 years of age. What do you think about him?
Anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that I absolutely love this kid. He is phenomenal, and he's a grandson of Shellis Hyndman, you know, who coached FC Dallas. You know, he's got an amazing soccer brain, just incredible vision, and is totally capable of linking play, and having that creative sort of nuance that a lot of midfield players don't fully develop until later, and I feel like he's already got it now. I'm very, very high on this kid. I think that he is definitely an incredible prospect for this World Cup qualifying campaign. You know, he's already started several games at Fulham. for the first team. And Felix Magath is very impressed with him. And the fans are impressed with him too. He started 2 games for Fulham, had over a 90% pass completion rate. He just totally dictated the middle of the pitch. And then for some reason that has yet to be explained, Magath just didn't play him in the following game, and it was dismal. They lacked his creativity. They lacked what he brought to the table, his ability to connect the defense with the forwards, to provide that sort of bridge, to help connect the midfield, and I think Felix understood that really quickly because, it was a week later and he was back in the side. And so, he is young and his size can be an issue. He's a very small kid, but he makes up for it with his brain, his soccer brain, and he makes up for it with his creativity on the ball, and with his skill. And so, going back to the Czech Republic game, again, very impressed with him. It was a short cameo, not quite as long as I was hoping for, the midfield by that time had kind of been disrupted. But for a first cap, I thought it was good, and he helped us to close out the game, which, is all you can expect at that stage, I think. And so it was good for him. It was good for him. It was a good show. And he'll have other opportunities to build on that. So definitely one to keep your eye on. He's a bright prospect and is a very exciting player.
Yeah, now, the only thing, I'll be honest with you, that sticks out with me at this point in time from that match with him is I remember him giving the ball away with a pass that just didn't have enough weight on it. It straight to a Czech player. They break in, and he was able to backtrack and win the ball back.
Yes.
So that tells me a lot, too. A lot of players in their first cap after they gave the ball away would just be, I gave the ball away. But yeah. No, he knew that he had to bust back to stop the counterattack, especially with us only up a goal late in the game.
Absolutely, and that shows you a really good glimpse of his personality. He works really hard, that's just the type of player that he is. First cap, first game. He's, again, young player. He's got a lot to learn, but at the same time, he's learned a lot, and he has matured a lot and can offer a lot to us in the midfield.
All right, now let's move on to somebody who a lot of people had no idea who the heck this guy was when he got called in, and that would be Stamford player Jordan Morris, a 19-year-old wing who recently featured with the under-23 team in their match against the Bahamas.
Yep, and in that match, also, I believe it was pre-World Cup, the U.S. played, was it the U-21s, in a scrimmage over there at the Home Depot Center, or what used to be the Home Depot Center. he scored a goal, and Klinsmann was just really impressed with him. And I'll be honest with you, this one came totally out of the blue. This kid was not even on my radar, and I knew very, very little about him. I knew about as much as you've already said, and that's I don't have a whole lot more to add on to it. Watching college games is very difficult to do, so I haven't really had an opportunity to get a chance to watch him at all. But I know that, Klinsmann was impressed with him, obviously. That's why I brought him in the squad. And, it wouldn't surprise me if we see him again. Jordan Morris, ladies and gentlemen.
It's interesting. I can tell you that he is a product of the Seattle Sounders Academy.
Yes, yes.
And is still their property.
Yep.
As he's in the Stamford. Now, I heard a different story that, and this may be true, but it's similar, that, yes, he scored a goal, but I thought it was one of those closed-door scrimmages that they had against Stamford while building up to the World Cup.
That might have been it.
That might have been. It doesn't matter. Yeah. He scored a goal and a closed door friendly, impressed Klinsmann, and now there he is on our
radar.
Like
I said, I got a lot of research on him to do.
Yeah. All right, now let's jump to somebody who I presumably don't need a lot of research on because you actually have firsthand knowledge and experience with this player, and that would be the 18-year-old forward from Utrecht, Rubio Ruben.
Yes. Rubio, as I think the last time I was on the show, we discussed, he signed a first-team contract with Utrecht, and I was there last December. A great club, and definitely a good place for him. He made his first-team debut a couple weeks ago and was back in the squad right before this international break for Utrecht. Another young player who shows a lot of promise, definitely has a nose for goal. Again, his size is a little bit of a detriment to him. He's going to have to bulk up a little bit, I think, but he's not quite the center forward type that Jozy Altidore is. That's not quite his game. He's more along the lines of maybe, trying to think of a good example, maybe a Lukas Podolski might be a good example. He's capable of playing up top, but he's better equipped to play with somebody, not necessarily with his back to goal. Definitely an interesting prospect, and he's got a great nose for goal. It's going to be exciting to see him as he progresses with Utrecht. I think that he'll get a lot of playing time. That was a really good move for him. They're a squad that always is looking for young talent, and so for him to be identified by Utrecht and to be signed by them is a good sign and a promising sign. So, yes, Rubio Ruben, you can expect to see him often during this cycle.
Okay, and then last, finally, and this is just crazy. I mean, folks, we're sitting here. We have 11 players on this list here who are all 24 and younger who, are making an impact for their clubs, who are in the mix at a young age, to play for the U.S. men's national team. So it just tells you how far we've gotten in terms of a talent pool through, some of the good work of the MLS with their academies, some of our outreach to, try to get some of these guys who are eligible for other countries to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just great, and that's the way we have to do things here, is to kind of locate the players wherever and whenever we can.
Yeah.
So that last player, also located, playing his club ball in Germany for 1860 Munich, would be the forward Bobby Wood, age 21.
Yep. Bobby Wood, he's, somebody that's kind of hovered around the U.S. team for the last little bit, but I believe that this was his first cap. It's good for him. 1860 Munich is a good club, but again, he's going to want to, and I'm sure that Jurgen probably had this discussion with him, but he's going to want to look to move on from them. 1860, it'll be interesting to see if they'll be up for promotion this year. My guess is probably not, but this is really Wood's first year with a starting role. He's started several games for them already this season, and he needs to get on the scoring sheet. It's been a little bit of a slow start for him. The season is early, still a lot of time to go, but he needs to find his goal scoring form, and if he does that, I think that will open up some more doors for him. But again, good player. He's from Hawaii, which not a lot of American soccer players can say, I don't think. I don't think there's too many of those.
Except for Brian Ching.
Except for Brian Ching, that's right. Yeah. Yes, how could we forget him? So, yeah, but yeah, 1860 Munich, you know, it's they play in the 2 Bundesliga, second division there in Germany, and he's definitely on Klinsmann's radar. So if he can find some goal-scoring form, I think that he could continue to get call-ups under Klinsmann. So that'll be something interesting to keep an eye on.
Yes, definitely. So that is our list there. And actually, I just want to get your thoughts, because this is another young player who didn't get called in. But what are your initial thoughts, knowing now that DeAndre Yedlin will be making the move either maybe in January or at least next summer to the EPL and Tottenham Hotspur?
It's always exciting to get a player that heads over to a team that's you know, a staple in the EPL. American players at Tottenham have struggled at times. It hasn't always been the greatest place for them to go, so that's a little worrisome to me. It'll be interesting to see if they actually plan to keep him and let him fight for a spot, or if they try to push him out on a loan move. The new coach that they have, he loves young talent. And so I think that was one of the reasons why they went after Yedlin. He had an impressive World Cup for us. And so it's a mixed bag for me. I think it's a good move overall, but I'm a little weary about it. I think that he's really going to have to finish out his season with the Sounders on a high note. And then he's going to have to be able to adjust quickly to life over there in England and the different style of play and the different pace of play. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yes, most certainly. And so that was our list of players who just made a roster, but I know there's tons more in the MLS and maybe other European clubs who could make an impact on the cycle. We won't discuss them, but you just want to maybe give people, list off a few names of
sure.
some players. And we could start with some MLS players who, you know, and Klinsmann has kind of let his frustration be known again about the MLS not really allowing some of their players to be released for international duty. But that is a whole other topic, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. So
in terms of young talent in MLS, a few of the players to keep an eye on. I think Yossi Zardes is one. He's an interesting player. He kind of goes in waves. He has really good weeks or month, and then he kind of falls away again, and then he'll be back. So if he can kind of gain some consistency, which he's found of late, you know, I think that he's definitely one to keep an eye on. Also really like Romain Gall at Columbus Crew. He moved there over the summer. He's a very young player, featured for the U20 team, who's in Argentina this week, actually. He was kind of a late addition to the squad, but I really like him. He was over there with FC Lorient in France and wasn't finding quite necessarily the opportunities that I think he was hoping he would. And so Columbus snatched him up, and he's made several off-the-bench appearances for them already this season. Definitely one to keep an eye on. He's got great feet, and he has a pretty good soccer brain. So an exciting prospect for sure. I also really like Luis Gil at Real Salt Lake.
Yeah,
he's one that I think we've talked about before, but another young player. It seems like he's not that young because he's been around forever, but he is actually still quite young. So I suspect that we might see him next month. Anyways, so there's just a few in MLS that I'm kind of keeping my eyes on right now. So how about you? Do you have any that you've been impressed with, young talents in MLS right now?
Well, you know, we at 2Daft Yanks don't – it's hard for us to watch MLS.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, being from the Rocky Mountain area, I mean, I do keep tabs on the Colorado Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that and it's kind of died down a bit, but when they first came in, I think it was 2 years ago already now, Shane O'Neill and Dylan Powers are two guys who I don't think have been called up into a camp yet, into a senior team camp. So I know those are two guys. And then you got Chris Klute as well, who came from the Atlanta Silverbacks.
Yes.
A lot of people are high on him, but he hasn't really gotten a look. But there's plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what you know about O'Neill and Powers.
I know that, again, they get consistent time with Colorado, so that's always a good thing. I'll be honest with you, there's not a whole lot that I know about them, because I'm similar in your shoes. You know, the MLS, I watch the MLS, but probably not as regularly as I should. So call me a Euro snob or whatever you want to do, but that's not where I watch necessarily. So I do like Perry Kitchen, DC United, local guy. That's where I am in DC. So I always enjoy going out to the DC United games and watching Perry Kitchen. So you caught me on the spot there.
Oh, it's okay. Are there any other European-based Americans out there who maybe we haven't talked about that might be worth noting?
Young talents or just in general?
Young.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I mentioned him on the show before, Zarek Valentin. He actually is out injured. His club in Norway was promoted into the Tippeligaen this year, Bodo Glimt. His club. He, I think he tore his ACL, if I'm not mistaken. So he's out for the whole season, which is really unfortunate because in the games leading up to that, he'd done really well. And I suspect that he would have gotten a call into the national team if things had gone right. So he's definitely one to watch, especially if Bodo Glimt stay up this season. I haven't checked of late where they stand, where they sit in the standings. So that's my homework assignment for tonight. I also really like Will Packwood. He's a young center back that plays for Birmingham City. He's a name that I think a lot of people are familiar with. He hasn't actually gotten a whole lot of looks this season with the first team, which is surprising. I think a lot of us thought that he was going to break onto the scene much stronger this year than he did last season. Well, towards the end of last season, he was getting some first-team looks and getting the opportunity to play for them, and I felt like he did quite well, but apparently the manager doesn't share my feelings, and he hasn't made very many appearances for them, and he hasn't played hardly any minutes, if any minutes, at all for them yet in this championship season. So right now he's just playing for their U21s, he captains the side, and he scored 2 weeks ago for them. Right before the international break, so I guess it was a week ago, but yeah, so it's good for him. He's an exciting prospect, and definitely could be the future partner with Brooks. That could be our future center back partnership. So that'll be interesting to see how that continues. Who else? Let's see. Let me break out my list here. let's see. Caleb Stanko is one to watch. Signed a first team contract with Freiburg in the Bundesliga. He's a center defensive midfielder. So interesting, going along with what we talked about a little earlier with the new formation, this 4-3-3. It'll be interesting to see if Stanko can get some playing time with the first team in Freiburg. If Klinsmann does decide to bring him in, where's he going to put him? You know, like you said, with the 4-3-3, it's the Jermaine Jones and the Kyle Beckerman type role kind of disappears a little bit, and that's kind of the role that Stanko does. But he's also capable of playing center back, which he's played with the U.S. youth teams before. So It'll be interesting to see, but that I think that call up is a long ways away. He needs to break into Freiburg first. So There's him. Again, you've got, let's see, you've got Dwayne Holmes, another exciting prospect.
Yes, Huddersfield.
Yes, but actually he just went on loan to a League One side, so now he's playing in Division Three in England, which was a little bit disappointing. You know, I think that we were hoping that he would kind of solidify his spot with Huddersfield Town, but nope, they sent him to Chesterfield, I believe.
Okay, that's not that terrible. It's good for him to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And he started he started the first game he was eligible for right before this international break. So, yeah, he started and did quite well. He got some good reviews. So that's good news. You've also got, and I have a hard time pronouncing his name. It's Dboli Ariyibi. He's a kid from Georgia, a young kid. In fact, he's with the U-20s right now. He got his first U-20 call-up. He used to play for Leeds over in England, but they let him go, and so he was without a club, and he recently signed with another club over there in England, whose name escapes me at this time, because it was a recent development. Yeah, he's an interesting player. It'll be interesting to watch and see what happens. Again, I think he's a long ways away from getting any sort of first-team call-up for the USA, but an exciting prospect to keep your eye on nonetheless. And we'll wrap it up with, of course, Junior Flores, who is seeing bench time for the second team at Dortmund. You know, Joe Zhao's playing, he's starting for that team, and Junior Flores is getting time on the bench, but Junior's also been starting for Dortmund's U19 team on a consistent basis. I was actually talking with Junior's dad the other day, and it looks like Junior is getting some promises from the coach there that he's going to start getting some playing time with the second team. So it'll be interesting to watch that one. Junior is a great player. Was also called into this U20 squad that's in Argentina right now. He's exciting. That's definitely one that I'm keeping a close eye on. I had the chance to interview him, and he's a great kid, great personality. He works really hard and wants to. He's a dual national. He could play for El Salvador, but he wants to represent the USA. Exciting times there too. You know, it's always great when you have a talent, a great talent like that, that's coming up through a club like that. So it's good
yes.
stuff.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for all that information. And I guess we'll just close up with this one last player. I know we talked about him before, and I've heard a lot of rumors, but I do believe he is a Kansas City defender, Eric Palmer Brown.
Mm-hmm.
What are we hearing? Is his deal to Juventus pretty much like a secret handshake done deal type of thing right at this point in time?
That is a really good question. They are keeping that so underneath the wraps right now that it's so far buried that nobody can get to it. So to answer your question, I don't know. But my fingers are crossed for that to happen. I think that would be an excellent move for him. You know, he's actually gotten some minutes for Sporting this season. He's looked okay. You know, he's been good in some parts and not so great in others. So, you know, it's pretty much what you would expect for a young and relatively untested talent like his. So, if he can seal that move to Juventus, I think that'd be really good for him. You know, they always have good youth teams and they strive to promote and develop good talent. So, let's hope that happens. That would be excellent.
Yes, Serie A is a good place to come up as a center back for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, all right, Joe. Well, thank you for the wealth of information. That's why we love having you on.
Sure.
The number one person with a pulse on it all.
So I don't know about that. I think Brian Strad has got me beat.
Well, yeah, but he gets paid to do that. So you just think
that's
if you
true,
had the New York Times budget at your
yeah, That's
at
true.
Your back or us too, even if we were sponsored, you know.
That's right.
Like some kind of super alliance between 2-Daft Yanks and the 12th Yank, if someone would just throw us some money.
Heck yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, then we could go to Prague.
Exactly. Let us live the life so we could go to Prague, people.
Yeah, we're for hire. Come on.
Yeah. So, all right, Joe, thank you for coming on. And, of course, folks, if you don't follow Joe already, he is on Twitter at 12th Yank.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure. Always enjoy coming on.
Yeah, man, you're welcome anytime, and we'll make sure that we don't have as big of a gap as we did from the last time you're on. We'll make sure we get you on again here real soon.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right. So for Joe Gould, I am Chad Smith. Thank you for listening to the 2-Daft Yanks podcast.
This has been the 2-Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at 2daftyanks.com or at 2-Daft Yanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the 2-Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.